Hey, did you watch Raw yesterday?
No, was it any good?
You weren't into it?
No, I didn't watch it. Was it any good?
I didn't get a chance to see it, but have you seen those new tag titles?
I saw them when they came out. When Bret Hart gave them to the Hart Dynasty, I saw them.
Dude, I didn't even know that they had that, but I don't know who the hell I was watching the other day, but I was flipping through the channels. All of a sudden, I come across Raw, and I see those tag titles, and they're pretty cool. I mean, they've got the two Spartans, and it has more of a bronze look. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you caught that.
No, I knew the bronze look. I didn't see what was on them. I didn't see like a close up of them.
I don't know. I'm digging them a lot, but there's a lot of people out there that are saying that they just really don't like them, that they think that they suck or that they look like they're too childlike. And my thing is like, what the hell, you know? Like, I used to think that the belt with the spinner belt sucked, and now there's belts that actually look decent, and people are complaining that they look too childlike and toy-like. And I'm starting to think like, man, these people that grew up with wrestling, maybe they don't really know what a real like old school boxing belt would have looked like, right? Or an old school belt would have looked like that actually what they're calling real belts are actually the toy belts, and the belts that we grew up with are actually the real belts. Because I think if you were to do a survey today with today's new generation and you said, okay, the original NWA world title or the spinner belt, I think the spinner belt might win.
Dude, I freaking hate that spinner belt, man.
That was all bad. I mean, when John Cena first came onto the scene, it was cool, but I had already thought that he went through a character change, because I remember him, you know, being in the independent, especially in the Southern California independent wrestling leagues, and you know, he was known as the prototype. Yeah. He had like just crazy looking haircut and stuff. So when he first went into WWE or WWF, whatever you call it now, you know, he kind of started with that rapper gimmick. So I thought, what the hell is this? You know, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. I mean, is he really trying to act like Mark Wahlberg? And, you know, the rapping and the insulting was kind of cool, and that grew on me. But then, you know, then it was the belt, and I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
You know, it was just really weird. I'm just not down with the spinner belt. That really, to me, looked like a toy. And here now people are like, oh, my God, the spinner belt sucks, people.
I hope when they merge, because, you know, the rumor has it they're going to merge the world title and the WWE championship. And I hope they really come with a good belt for that one.
All right. So, you know, that's what I was going to start asking. So for there's no SmackDown tag team and there's no Raw tag team. Now it's just one tag team, and the tag team is just on one brand.
Yep, I think so. And they're supposed to do that with all the championships. The next one's the Diva Championship. They're going to merge the Diva and the Women's Championship in one championship.
All right, WWE, if you are listening to me, please do us all a favor and get rid of the Butterfly Belt. I'm assuming that's the Divas Championship.
I think that's the Divas one.
Yeah, I mean, you can't take that belt seriously. I mean, it's a pink butterfly.
Yeah, dude. Well, you know, they never do good with their women's division anyways. It's lame. They never put any time to it.
That is great. Let's talk about that women's division. I mean, so it looks like they're trying to do something with the women, but I think that they're starting to fail before they're even going to see any sort of, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, because they're obviously taking women a little bit seriously now since they did, you know, an all-female cast for NXT. But what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing is that it's a complete joke. I mean, there was the one girl, Aloisa, who the show hadn't even started and they had already removed her because she took some risque photos. I looked at those risque photos. Number one, Aloisa's like over 7 feet, I think. She's a complete beast. She's like a female, you know, Big Show. She's not that great looking. So those pictures were not risque. They were more disgusting.
And then I guess she tweeted something or I don't know, one wrestling podcast I listened to, I think it's at impactwrestling.com. They were talking about one of the other contestants has a little bit more risque photos out there, and she's still in NXT. So it makes you wonder what the deal was, you know, or what the deal really was.
Yeah, that's true. Personally, I would say it was her inexperience, because, I mean, she hadn't broken into the independents not too long ago. And when you're somebody who just breaks into the independents, I mean, that literally means that you quit your job at Walmart, you got into your car, and you signed up to go to pro wrestling school. I don't really even remember her having any matches, you know, on Heat or Velocity or those old school shows where you at least get to wrestle and get to practice in front of an audience. I think she just had her, you know, garage independent matches. So that's definitely a trip.
Well, that's what everyone was saying was, well, at first it was that her inexperience, but I'm trying to find pictures of this chick because I've never seen her before.
The minute you see her, you're going to want to reset your computer because it's that bad. Aloisa, sorry, but you just don't make the Lowdown Hall of Fame when it comes to your pictures, baby.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, Celeste Bowen. Okay, that wasn't her. Oh, this is a different chick.
Online listeners, Carlos is in a deep Google search mode.
Stupid. I'll look him up later.
Hey, so Mickey James to TNA. I'm starting to see the reports on the lordsofpain.net. What do you think?
Dude, I mean, nah. Number one, I think that she caught a bad rep in the WWE, you know, because they kept giving her a lot of crap about gaining weight or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is TNA the right move? I don't know. I don't know if TNA is the right move for anybody right now. Because to be honest, ever since Hogan and Bischoff went to TNA, it's lame, you know. And not that I've ever was really a big TNA fan, but I would follow some of the news about it. And all I've ever heard is how lame it got once they started, you know, Ric Flair, Mick Foley. They did this whole throwback to ECW. For what? Why are you trying to bite off old stuff that the WWE did when you've got great talent, young talent, and why don't you build those guys? What's the deal with reaching back to the 90s and trying to rekindle something that was fine when it was there, but I mean, don't do it now, you know?
Exactly. And WWE, not that I'm a WWE professional, but I'm just saying, you know, from a business point of view, you know, if you look at the rosters, you know, that TNA had, WWE, you know, knows how to, number one, sign a wrestler or sign a superstar or sign a piece of talent and say, okay, we are going to build them up, because TNA probably had first dibs, or they did, on number one, Low-Ki, who is now Caval, and he just won NXT,
right?
In the WWE. They definitely had first dibs at Brian Danielson, or whatever the hell his name is now, and they didn't do anything with him, and now he's United States American champ in WWE. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they definitely had a shot at making Christian huge, and they didn't. So WWE let Christian go over there, let him take his medicine, and then Christian came right back to the WWE. And then you just have, you know, some talent that are being dumb because they think that they should be, you know, champ for some reason, a.k.a. Matt Hardy, who is actually trying to seek his release right now this week in the WWE so he can jump over to TNA. Who knows? They don't know what to do with their talent. Mickey James, I wish you well. You know, if WOW was still around, you probably should have went there. But WOW is now gone.
Dude, I remember Cornicey.
Remember Women of Wrestling, yeah. Or Glow. Glamorous Ladies of Wrestling.
That's the one I went to go see. There used to be a place called the Hammond Civic Center. And this might be around still back home, but the Hammond Civic Center, I remember my grandpa taking me to go see Glow. And I remember at the end of like the main event, they let all us kids like surround the ring, and we all of us were like pounding on the ring while like the girls were wrestling inside.
And man, really?
Yeah. And accidentally one of the girls' foot went underneath the rope where I was standing, and I accidentally hit her. Like, I pounded on her foot on accident because we were, like I said, we were pounding on the ring. And she looked at me and gave me a really dirty look. And I'm like, oh, crap, I'm going to get my – I mean, I was like seven, dude, you know. But that was the first time I ever felt ring ropes. I've never felt ring ropes, and I never realized how stiff ring ropes really are. Because they look so springy on TV, you know, because you've got 200 pounds, 300 pounds bouncing against them, you know.
You know, that you know, WWE should have, like, WWE Olympics. You bring up such a great point. and they should make you do stuff kind of like the beginning of the NXT shows where they make you do like stupid challenges, but you know, they should approve upon them. And one of them should be is running those damn ropes. I mean, when you run those ropes, I guarantee you, you will walk out of that ring with ring rope burns on your back. It's a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially the way America is. I mean, we're so fat. We're probably, you know, one round, we're down and out for the count. We just want our donuts and hot chocolate.
Dude, I would love to get inside of a real ring and just bounce around. That'd be so awesome.
Yep. So check this out. I was reading again. One of my favorite bloggers, I've been following him since the early 90s. His name is Tito, and his blog is called Tito, T-I-T-O. You can find him on lordsofpain.net. But he brought up a good point in regard to the tag team division, that a lot of people have, you know, talked a lot of smack about how the tag teams are not good and the tag teams are not good. And he said, hey, you know, need I remind everybody, you know, the 80s with the Hart Foundation and the British Bulldogs and, you know, Beefcake and Greg the Hammer Valentine and the Rougeaus. And he just started naming off these tag teams. And he's like, maybe we just got really spoiled with tag teams, he started saying. And then he goes on to say, well, hey, you know, how about the 90s with the Outlaws and Acolytes and the Hardys and Edge and Christian? And he's like, oh, how quickly we forget. And then he brought up, he brought up a business standpoint, and he goes, or is it just maybe, you know, purely financial? Because, you know, wrestlers do make six figures. Everybody knows that they start at $100,000, you know, a year. So they are making a six-figure salary.
Right.
And is it sometimes rough for the WWF to fathom that they've got four guys in the ring and tag teams don't main event? They usually start the show or their mid-card, four guys in the ring, you know, equaling up to, you know, how much money, but they're all making, you know, six-figure salaries, you know, for a 10-minute match. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I mean, because you can even go back to, there's this whole thing with Rob Van Dam right now in TNA about his contract, how he got paid all this money, but he had a very specific amount of appearances or bookings that he could have done, and he was actually running out of bookings on his contract, right? So that if you're watching TNA right now, you'll notice that they're not even using Rob Van Dam right now because he's only got like five more bookings on this current contract,
and they can't
do anything with them. You know, otherwise, they're going to run out before like the next big pay per view or whatever. But what do you really do at that point? Because you've got five bookings, you're going to build up a match, and he's going to lose it. He has to lose it because it's not like in regards to like a championship match, he has to lose it because they're not going to give him the championship when his contract runs out. You know, so you know to. I think part of guys like us and guys of like our generation remember very fondly the British Bulldogs and the Killer Bees and, you know, the Rock and Roll Express and, you know, even the Von Erichs and the Fabulous Freebirds and all those guys, right? I don't think we realized that we were looking at probably some pretty crappy wrestlers back then. You know, I don't think that's a good point.
Were
kids and they were gods to us back then. So yeah, to try to compare the two to now, I don't know. I don't think it's I look back at some of those old school matches and they're just different. But
yeah, and you know what's weird is that the matches that we would watch now, you know, the US, you know, WA or UFW that I used to watch, or you know, the original NWA TVs where I would have to get extra aluminum to add to the antenna on my television so I can get the reception to watch, you know. I would be so excited to hear that, you know, Barry Windham and Ric Flair were going to wrestle, you know, a 1-hour match, and that's all they were going to show on the whole show.
Right.
And I would be like on pins and needles when they would go to commercial. And back in those days, you know, television programming was famous for just cutting you off and leaving you, not letting you know what would happen, you know, the following week.
And
I hated that. And especially with wrestling, because the way their programming was is, you know, those guys, the bookers, they're not professional 100%, you know. They're not Hollywood homegrown. So I would see, like, you know, the Horsemen come in and attack Barry Windham during the match, and then I'd tune in the following week to see what happened, and they wouldn't even talk about it.
Yeah,
you know, that was it. They would just go on to another match, and that was rough. But, you know, back to tag team wrestling, you're right, you know. They could have been crappy, you know, but there at least some memorable wrestlers came out of, you know, tag team wrestling. Obviously, you know, one of my favorite wrestlers was the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith, and I completely loved it how, you know, him and Bret Hart battled for the Intercontinental title Wembley Stadium, and that was main event.
Right.
That I thought that was awesome. Or I thought it was awesome that Bret Hart came from a tag team and he became who he was, because I really enjoy watching him entertain. And the same thing with Shawn Michaels. I mean, when Shawn Michaels truly was my favorite wrestler is when he was in the AWA with Big Scott Hall, a.k.a. Razor Ramon, and they were a tag team. That was cool.
It's funny. You brought up the British Bulldog, and I just heard the story the other day. So did you hear that Jim Neidhart got busted for having drugs, and he's sitting in a jail cell right now down, I think it's down in Florida. Man.
Imagine what the Hart Dynasty's talking about backstage. Like, they're probably telling his poor daughter, Natty Neidhart, who's actually on Raw right now, and who's involved in programming, like, hey, there's nothing that you can do, and that the WWE has distanced themselves from them, and you can't talk about it. And they found that guy with all kinds of stuff. He had pills galore. And you know what? It's sad to say, but whenever you see a wrestler that has that many pills, he's most likely selling them at the gym, or he's selling them to other wrestlers.
Right, right. Well, that's what they got him. They busted him for. And the thing is no one's bailed him out. That was the latest report that I heard is that nobody had actually – he hadn't made bail yet. So it makes you wonder what the deal is.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, the next thing you're probably going to hear is Jim Neidhart goes ahead and checks himself in on WWE's dime for a wellness facility, which everybody – you know, typically wants to do. Hey, here's a little blast from the past. I don't know why I thought about this guy the other day. I started Googling him. Psycho Sid. Remember that guy?
Wasn't that Sid Vicious?
Sid Vicious, baby!
Yeah.
Man, a couple of years ago, I started reading that he wanted to make a comeback to the WWE, and his excuse was that he was, you know, that everybody kept saying how good Hulk Hogan looked. And Sid Vicious was kind of like, I look better than Hulk Hogan. I'm 50 years old, over 50 years old, and he is literally 300 pounds of twisted steel. The guy is completely buff, and he looks right now like he could be 35 years old, and that would be one great wrestler that I would love to see come back in, you know, into the fold and entertain. I think he's actually doing matches in the independents. But I remember when I was younger, junior high or high school, one of the things about, you know, Sid Vicious that was so great is that I remember that there was a Halloween Havoc commercial. And Halloween Havoc was the old WCW, one of their major pay-per-views. So they usually would have him strapped into a gurney, kind of like the old Frankenstein stuff. And he would just explode out of that. And I'm sure the leather straps that they had on him, you know, were fake. But that always left such a great image of me. And, man, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that guy back in there. I mean, some of those old nostalgic matches I would love to see. Just like I would love to see WWE give Sting a chance and maybe do a quick little run, you know, with them. In original Sting outfit, by the way.
Whatever happened to Sid Vicious? Like, he went to the WWE, and then, like, I don't remember whatever happened to him after.
Yeah, he's best known for getting into a fight in the locker room with Arn Anderson and bludgeoning him with a pair of scissors. That literally did happen. They got into a huge argument. If you ever watch television and you look at Arn Anderson, you can see the scar on the back of his neck. I think he, like, stabbed him in the neck and stabbed him in the chest. They got into a huge fight. And but nobody went to jail over it, you know. Back then, I guess, and that's what the good old boys, the tough boys, you'd get into a fight. I guess you'd stab each other. Nowadays, you get into a fight, and you know, somebody threatens to break your Game Boy.
All right, so I found the pic of Eloisa. I thought she was. I mean, not that she's that attractive, but I thought it was going to be worse than that. Actually, she's not as bad as I thought she was going to be.
Yeah. In college, there was a word that people in my circle of college friends would used to call her. And Americans don't know this, but in Spanish, it means sandwich. The word I refer to is torta.
Dude. She's like a freaking super deluxe torta, bro. Seriously.
She's a big time torta. Well, fans, this is Bobby Rogue, and everybody knows who the other guy is. That's Carlos.
That's some random guy that just decided to jump on Skype tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, we decided to do a little something different. We just kind of started talking off the cuff. We had really no plan to talk about wrestling. In fact, I thought we were going to talk about something on TV, but we're doing something a little different, trying to mix it up a little bit. We hope you enjoyed it. We're going to make this episode a heel turn episode. And, you know, we'll be back hopefully next week. If you want to learn more about Lowdown Radio, please visit our website, lowdownradio.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/lowdownradio. We're also on Facebook. Facebook.com/lowdownradio. Bobby?
The real Lowdown Radio. Not those guys with 20,000 friends.
They can't. There's no match for our six friends.
Yeah. 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 There's no match for the six loyal listeners that we have. Ladies and gentlemen, good night. On behalf of Lowdown Radio, see you next time.
This has been a Lowdown Radio production. To listen to all of our shows, please visit our website at lowdownradio.com.